New Zealand artist Ella Sutherland will be spending a big chunk of her upcoming year-long residency in Berlin, sitting in the vaults of libraries and other institutions, examining once censored documents. Ella is intrigued by the link between historic censorship and how people came up with subversive ways to work around the censors. It's something she's also researched in New Zealand and South Korea. She'll head to Germany in October after being selected for the Creative New Zealand Berlin Visual Arts Residency. It includes the use of an apartment and a $40,000 stipend. I caught up with Ella in Sydney, where she's been based for the past 3 years, to find out what got her interested in censorship.
I come from a background of working with publishing, books, language, and given that so much of that space is, you know, to do with a certain kind of standardisation, I'm quite interested in how communities, groups, or people who maybe don't fit into that kind of, you know, that this idea of legibility might use those systems. So, you know, and I think that Germany has made such a significant contribution to the development of print technology, you know, thinking about the introduction of movable type, wood block printing, all of that kind of thing. So thinking about that alongside, I guess, a kind of social and political history of Germany, and thinking about how, in turn, censorship, especially in those spaces, might generate some other kinds of ways of communicating. What does that look like? How do people kind of use those spaces, shift and change them to work around those kind of more oppressive, weighty rules that might be placed in that space? And it's something that I, in the past, have kind of worked in some ways with. So archives that might be, you know, focusing on, for example, feminist publications, thinking about how they might be using the space of printed matter to, you know, make a community or self-determine a space, or also earlier in the year working, making a project around the Gilets Jaunes, Yellow Vest anti-government protests in Paris that I happened to coincide with. So thinking about how you might have the improvised alongside the standardised, and what that might mean in terms of agency, movement, protest, that kind of thing.
Berlin is going to be fascinating for you because it's got so many, home to so many institutions and archives. I just have this vision of you for, you know, the first half at least of the residency, being locked up in vaults and libraries and going through material. Do you have an idea at this stage about which institutions you're particularly hoping to be able to research at?
I mean, there are so many. I think that probably over the next couple of months, my plan will be to have some conversations around narrowing that down. So at the moment, there's kind of, you know, thinking about libraries, collections in general, knowing that, especially, of course, I'll be needing to work with someone who could translate for me, all of this kind of thing. I'm coming up to that conversation to, you know, start narrowing down what that might be. But
well, I wondered about how your German was, because this is one of the challenges for an artist like yourself working in visual communication and language, you know, going to somewhere like Germany. Are you going to spend some of that time trying to get your head around the language?
Absolutely. I think that this is not the first time that I've worked with an archive that's not in English. So last year I was working with an archive in South Korea, which, you know, was a really good experience in terms of thinking about how I might read or connect to printed matter in terms of the form or the design or the feel of it, you know, alongside, of course, the content of that. And I'm really interested in how it is that enterprise of the content and the form of these things coming together that makes it, that's what really interests me. So I'll be able to read it, of course, in that way, and then bring somebody on to help me kind of unpack, of course, what's been written.
In terms of the variety of once censored documents, Ella, that you're wanting to look at, I mean, we can think about wartime, of course, that's a very obvious time, but are you wanting a a range, you know, from the political through to censorship in terms of offensiveness and taste, for example?
Yes, I'm very much interested in, because of course we have such such kind of pivotal political moments, and I guess thinking of the 20th century in Germany, which are, you know, just kind of imagining where to start with those is quite a huge task. But I'm definitely interested in thinking about those other spaces where that may have been happening at a smaller scale. In the past, in relation to New Zealand, I've, you know, been interested in the idea of obscene publications and the kind of censoring of things coming to New Zealand. So thinking about how, some of those other channels of communication have also been kind of influenced or impacted by, you know, some kind of censorship on those, and then thinking in turn the workarounds with that.
To consider how, or the workarounds, as you were saying, with censorship, 100 years ago, there were far fewer options for people to get around censorship than there are now with social media, for example.
Absolutely. It is very interesting thinking about what this kind of historic conversation looks like alongside this current moment. And of course, you know, increasingly as we're kind of dealing with invisible forms of things and power and kind of communication, thinking about what does it mean with those, to kind of line those two points in time up, is there some kind of conversation or crossover, or does it not translate, is definitely something I'm hoping to think through with the work in Berlin.
Do you have a view on censorship? It's easy to hear the word censorship and automatically think that's a bad thing, that should not happen. Or are you, as you go through these documents, will you have an open mind and actually think, this was probably perhaps better not given light?
Yeah, I think in each instance it'll be a, you know, completely informed by the context. But, you know, I think in large what I'm most interested in is, because of that censorship, what has happened in terms of language, you know, printing, distribution, communication, to think about different ways of navigating that. So I imagine it'll be quite an experience, kind of, you know, in terms of my own interpretation of this material, kind of taking a, making a call on what that is and isn't. And I think I have to be just kind of open to the influence of an experience of what that is.
And is there a lot to celebrate, do you think, in the way that people over the decades, maybe over the centuries, have come up with ways to, let's say, work around censorship? So something positive can come from the censoring of information if people are determined for it to get out there somehow.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, so often, thinking about visual representation, I guess symbols, coded language, kind of distribution channels, all of that, and especially thinking about this idea of maybe to generalize kind of marginalized or oppressed groups of people wanting to do that, it's, incredible the kind of ways that technology is used and how these kind of systems are reoriented or rejigged to work in a completely different way, which I find really fascinating.
Now, you're going in here with an idea for three works, three very different works. What are they?
So I am going to be spending the first part of the residency, as mentioned, working through various archives, and I'm hoping to, from that, produce a series of prints. And this is something that materially I've worked with before, and I think that it's also a really nice opportunity being in Berlin to be able to make some connections with German-based printers, producers, and seeing how, you know, there could also be a conversation around this kind of historic contribution that's kind of present in terms of mechanical reproduction. So thinking about how to tie those two things together. I'm also interested in thinking about how to extend some of this research into a 3D space. So having the opportunity of the residency to have that time and support to kind of think through what that might look like, feels very exciting. So bringing this research into a contemporary conversation, contemporary frame, thinking about what it might be to, you know, as mentioned, compare this kind of historic conversation with the contemporary one, completely different modes of communication that we're thinking about now. And then I'm also going to broadcast some of this research in the form of a publication, so a form that feels, of course, kind of a natural fit given the context of the work, and also my just wider interests in terms of producing publications, and it feels like a nice way to set some conversations up, you know, over the duration of the residency. And with that, I've been thinking of it as being thinking of ideas of collage, thinking of a history of that in Germany as well, which maybe can, you know, be a bit of a back and forth between people and places.
Is it also fun for you when you're coming across documents to see what's written in the margins? Like we've got here at RNZ, I've seen access of records that at one stage were censored, and you'll see in the handwriting why, or people being really ticked off that they can't play it. You know, there's some lovely information around the official stamp with censored on it in whatever language that might be. So when you're going through these documents, do you look for those human touches?
Absolutely. I think that the idea of these objects being, you know, having a life out in the world and, you know, bearing the traces of that is, you know, so nice to come across that, you know, when you kind of find them. And I think trying to, in a way, fill in the gaps or find those stories that are, you know, collected in these things is something I'm really interested in doing. And yeah, notes in the margins, people underlining, all of that kind of thing is, you know, and I think because historically that's happened so often, and thinking even kind of to medieval manuscripts and the tradition of, you know, having the kind of obscene drawings in the margins, notes, all of that kind of thing, and in a way those allowing some kind of insight into what these things were because you could get a sense of their use as a, you know, I find that as a really enlightening part of looking at this material.
I reckon it'd be interesting for you too, Ella, given the research that you've done, if to be able to compare what was censored in New Zealand at the same time was being censored in Berlin in Europe, which was so very different to us, you know, if we go back 100 years or so, even less, as we were such a young country. And then also in South Korea, you know, to see what the censors were getting excited about over the same period in those different countries.
Absolutely. Yes, I mean, I think this is part of, you know, this idea of wanting to have some kind of serial publication or conversation that's working between locations, you know, hopefully trying to set up some of those kinds of back and forth discussions would be really, really great.
How then do you study subversive communication in the 21st century? I mentioned social media before, but are there other avenues that you explore?
I think that, I mean, my focus largely has been in a print context, and I guess increasingly as, you know, we're shifting towards digital space and most everything, it's completely changes that, but it does still persist in some instances. You know, I think the worlds that exist online in terms of, you know, I guess you have an anonymity that just is both previously was not possible, but then also, of course, you know, how all of these things connect up is sort of a little bit unnerving. So, yeah, I haven't focused on thinking through the digital space at this point in time, but I think with this research coming up to that point would be really interesting.
What does this opportunity mean to you? You left New Zealand, I think, around about 3 years ago and based yourself in Australia and, you know, heading off to Berlin in October next year. What is it personally? What does it mean for you professionally? I think we have an idea, but what about personally?
I think that the opportunity of the residency in terms of, you know, in lots of ways, in terms of time and space to be able to focus on one particular project, to be able to, you know, it's nice to think that these spaces are kind of possible and in kind of usual life, but really the reality that I've found so far is usually it's a scenario of juggling a few things. So, you know, being able to have that focus is very incredible. And I think that Berlin, being such a centre of contemporary art, the people, institutions, galleries, archives, being there means, you know, just kind of access to conversations that are right there, you know. And I think personally there are quite a lot of people there who I know from New Zealand who've kind of, you know, have found it a really enriching, positive, productive space to be working in. So
to the point where they stay there, Ella.
Yes. So it feels, I mean, of course it's a big shift in terms of life in general, but it's very, but you know, it feels like a very, very exciting opportunity. So, you know, I'm really, really excited to be able to, yeah, take that on.
Ella Sutherland, who's been awarded the 2020-2021 Creative New Zealand Berlin Visual Arts Residency.